It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Despite the pandemic-induced recession that knocked millions of Americans out of jobs and shut down businesses in Pennsylvania and across the country, bankruptcy filings by Pittsburgh-area businesses last year were the lowest in at least 17 years. That's according to Pittsburgh Business Times. Dr. Risa Kumazawa is an associate professor of economics in Duquesne University's School of Business, and she's also president of the Economic Club of Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
There were 212 commercial bankruptcy filings last year. Surprising to you considering the state of our economy or not?
It is surprising, given that the year before, there were more bankruptcy filings. That total was 267. And then if we compare it to the last year of the Great Recession, that number was almost triple at 609.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me bring that up about the last recession. So what are other factors that lead to filings? I mean, you had so many in the last recession, but dare I say only 212 during the first part of this recession.
The effects of this recession is not over yet. If you look at the bankruptcy filings, just by themselves, you know, things look very rosy. But we have to remember that, you know, we've benefited from the Paycheck Protection Program, which was, you know, certainly provided liquidity and assistance for businesses, you know, that would have normally filed for bankruptcy.
When you saw the bankruptcies of some major nationwide companies, JCPenney, Neiman Marcus, and Pittsburgh-based GNC, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, ooh, a landslide of filings or what?
I was troubled by this because if you compare this to the last recession, you know, when we saw bankruptcy, you know, that normally wouldn't have happened, we started to be a little bit worried about the impact of the recession.
You mentioned the Payroll Protection Program, and you also mentioned the 2008-2009 recession when there wasn't such an assistance program. Are there other factors that lead or led to all the bankruptcy filings in 08-09?
So if you look at the cause of recessions, you know, these are things that occur due to different circumstances. So the Great Recession was something that was financially driven. So we did expect a large number of bankruptcies, and it was also a recession that came about because of the housing market. But if you look at this recession, it was not an economic-driven recession, but it was entirely a health-driven recession and a pandemic, which none of us has really experienced before. Mm-hmm.
And how does that play into the causes? I mean, does that lead to, I don't know, a bit more optimism that once we're through this pandemic, things might return to normal, our economy might be rebuilt, and different approaches have to be taken, or what?
Certainly, our optimism, pessimism, how we view the economy plays into how well the economy does. But I think there's a lot of unknowns with a pandemic-driven recession because the only data point we possibly have is the Spanish flu when things were a lot different. And certainly with the vaccine rollout, in the Pittsburgh area, that hasn't been happening very quickly. So we worry about potentially other things that could happen, such as what's going to happen to the commercial real estate market when we have mall owners, plaza property owners, you know, who lease spaces to retailers. What happens when these retailers go out of business? What happens to the hospitality industry, especially places like downtown hotels, conference locations, when we don't have things happening in person? I worry that when these programs expire, that we could potentially see an uptick in bankruptcies. And that could be anywhere from, I would say, the middle of 2021 to the end of 2021 that we could experience these things.
What other factors should we be looking at in terms of assessing the economic health here?
Certainly, we should look at, you know, the traditional numbers like the growth of the GDP. But as a labor economist, I worry that, you know, the K-shaped recovery that we've been looking at, the fact that certain segments of the population haven't really recovered. They're still suffering from substantial job losses, lack of childcare, food security. If you look at women, workers of color, and low-wage workers, these are things that are troubling, even if we hear in the news that the unemployment numbers overall have come down.
As you mentioned, people and businesses are still feeling the impact of the pandemic, the recession caused by the pandemic. So what do you expect for our region's economy for the remainder of this year?
I would expect us to start seeing more signs of recovery once we have dealt with the pandemic. You know, unfortunately, the pandemic and the economy are moving side by side because the labor market consists of people, and the fact that, you know, the social distancing is plays such a huge role in dealing with this is that unless we are able to contain the effects of the pandemic, we are not going to be able to fully recover.
Dr. Risa Kumazawa is an associate professor of economics in Duquesne University School of Business. Dr. Kumazawa, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. State Republicans and Democrats last week invited fossil fuel advocates to talk about future growth. Two hearings on the same day underlined a couple of divides. One between policymakers and scientists who say we must move to low-carbon power sources to avoid the worst effects of climate change, and another between members of a party that says it wants to tackle climate change. State Impact Pennsylvania's Rachel McDevitt reports.
The House Democratic Caucus lists climate change as a priority, but more than half of a two-hour hearing on 21st century energy jobs featured speakers on natural gas and coal.
You know, this is not your grandpa's coal company.
Zach Smith with CONSOL Energy offered a new vision of coal, even though it has been largely displaced by natural gas over the last decade. He told the House Democratic Policy Committee that CONSOL is working on a power plant that would trap 97% of emissions. Representative Pam Snyder from coal and gas-producing Greene County chaired the hearing.
CONSOL does provide sustainable jobs in Greene County. We are grateful for that, but I am really excited about the new technology.
She doesn't mean sustainable the way climate advocates do. In fact, the theme of the day was fossil fuels are good. They'll even help address climate change. That was the message from Jim Welty with the Marcellus Shale Coalition, who spoke to the policy committee and to the Republican-controlled House Environmental Resources and Energy Committee.
We are part of the solution on every step moving forward.
Yeah, not every step of the way. There has to be a step where we stop burning it.
Penn State climate scientist Kenneth Davis says natural gas can be helpful in the short term.
But it's got to be a transition fuel. It can't be the solution.
By replacing coal, natural gas has reduced emissions, but burning it still creates carbon dioxide. To avoid the worst effects of climate change, scientists say we must reduce greenhouse gas emissions dramatically in the coming decade and eliminate them by 2050. Democratic State Representative Danielle Friel Otten of Chester County co-chairs the Legislative Climate Caucus. She was in both hearings.
I was a little bit shocked to see the Democrats give a platform to the Marcellus Shale Coalition. I'm not going to lie about that.
Otten said of her colleagues that support fossil fuels, she's unlikely to change their minds. But she said the tone from past hearings was different, in that fossil fuel reps accepted that climate change is real and presents real risks.
I acknowledge and recognize that shift. Whether that will be sustained, we'll see. But I made the comment to my staff later that that was a step forward in my mind.
Still, there was a big disconnect between the presentations and where climate science tells us we have to go. Representative Greg Vitale of Delaware County, the Democratic chair of the House Environmental Resources Committee, says that's because there are two factors challenging the party on climate.
And one of which is some of our members are from coal country and gas country.
The other is labor unions typically aligned with Democrats want to preserve their fossil fuel related jobs. That can make a conversation about how to transition away from coal and gas more difficult.
Maybe they're thinking if we start talking about transition, it might appear like we're giving up on holding on to these jobs, which they don't want to do.
Vitale says you won't hear a Democrat oppose a just transition for coal communities or protecting the environment generally, but each member might have a different idea of what that means. Auten thinks pro-business and pro-environment lawmakers can compromise, for example, in promoting solar energy development. And aggressive moves from the Biden administration might create financial incentives.
We are going to leave money and funding on the table if we continue to obstruct good energy and climate policy.
Auten is hopeful that shifts in public opinion will drive the legislature to address climate change.
I think over time you're going to see people that just don't want to hear this nonsense anymore, that just want to move, like we need to move forward.
Though Democrats lost seats in the legislature overall last election, progressives focused on climate change gained seats within the caucus. Rachel McDevitt, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
It's the Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Over the last year, the pandemic has created a paucity of live musical performances. Well, this evening, as he has done for the previous 50 Wednesday evenings, Will Condridge and a group of musicians will host a Walking the Dog concert from Will's front porch in the Swiss Helm Park neighborhood of the city of Pittsburgh. Will, welcome to the Confluence.
Hello, thanks for having me.
How'd you come up with the idea?
Well, so we started off in the very beginning of the pandemic, and my dad, who he's kind of my musical manager, he said, hey, you know, what if we did a porch show? People can walk the dog, it's outside, it's safe, and just play a little bit. And I said, that's a good idea, let's do it. So, you know, just about a year ago now, we started, and we said, do this a couple weeks, maybe a month or so, and then we'll get back to the bars and clubs, and here we are.
So in neighborhoods all around, I mean, people would be walking their dogs, getting out of the house during this pandemic, and then they would just stop and listen for a few minutes to you?
Yes. In fact, we had the dog walkers, which was, you know, the intended audience, but then it really did turn into a neighborhood community event. They'll bring out lawn chairs, a lot of neighbors will, and I've even had people, they come in every week from different areas in the city, and not to mention the regular online crowd that tunes in just about every week. A lot of folks are undefeated champions. In fact, my aunt and uncle, I have to give them credit, but they've been undefeated. They've come to the neighborhood every single week for the past 50-some weeks, and even in the cold weather. He's a mailman, so he knows what to do. But it's a big shout out to the Vaughns there.
Well, how cool is it that this has grown from just, you know, entertaining some people in your neighborhood, walking their dogs out for a stroll, to people driving to your house to stop and listen from distances, and let alone the online that we're going to get to?
Yeah, it's really been fulfilling, for sure.
Uh-huh. So you interact with them. Do you get a sense of what the music means to people? You know, the fact that music is being performed live in a time that's, let's face it, has been very depressing for many people.
Sure. That's, you know, when I say it's fulfilling, that's really what it's all about to me. You know, just as a way to connect people, to offer a bit of relief during this time, you know, through the basic and fundamental human connection form, which is music. And, you know, aside from the obvious health issues, you do have everyday people struggling hard. Families, school kids, businesses, depression, substance abuse. And, you know, it's just a mess. So we just want to bring a little hope and keep the music going and offer just a little bit of fun.
And, of course, you don't have to show up in your neighborhood at Swiss Helm Park. You're live streaming this on Facebook?
That's right. Just on my personal page, Will Condridge, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The one-year show here on March 17th is going to be a benefit show. We often do benefits. We're going to be raising money for three local clubs, Moondogs, the Kohler Club, and Excuses. Those are all great music venues, and we're going to be raising money for them. So if you're feeling generous, that's going to be our cause here.
All right. What do you think? What's going to happen once the pandemic is over? Will your concerts continue on your front porch?
Well, certainly. So we started off in with the mindset that it'd be a couple weeks, a couple months, and then we hit the half year. And I said, well, I'm not a quitter, so we have to go for a whole year. And just the connection that I've built with not only the online audience and, you know, and how they've been reacting to my music and connecting with it, but also the in-person crowd. And we've made a lot of friends, a lot of fans. And this is something I foresee going forever. If not, I might not be as strict, you know, every week. But as far as a Wednesday porch show goes, I anticipate making this a part of my musical career.
Will, have you missed playing the traditional concerts, the traditional venues during this pandemic?
Oh, certainly. Last summer, we got a few in outdoors and even indoors on a really limited basis. But I miss it as much as anybody.
So is this music, doing this, is in a sense good for you as it is for the people who stop by and listen to you?
Yes, without a doubt. It's probably even more so for me. Just to be able to play and do something normal. It's the longest running gig I've ever had, so that's something.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the classic American Pie by Don McLean from 50 years ago now. Of course, it was about the day the music died, the plane crash that killed Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. Are you trying to do your part so that the pandemic is not the year the music died?
I'd like to. I see it that way in a sense. I'm not a big shot or anything, but we can't forget the personal interaction. We can't forget the art and just the basic humanity that has really been taken away from us. And to be able to continue that, even from my front porch, just little old me, it's I think it is important. I've always had this idea that as a big rock and roll fan, we've lived in a time where, hey, you know, a lot of us have seen the great icons, the Rolling Stones. Even a lot of people are still alive that saw Buddy Holly, that saw Johnny Cash and Elvis. And, you know, so it's cool to be a part of that, if not a small part, but a part of the history of rock and roll music and popular music in this country. And yeah, we just have to keep it going.
Will Kondrich and a group of musicians have been conducting concerts from his front porch every Wednesday for the past year. Will, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
So, will you play us out? And what song are you choosing?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. This is one of my originals. It's called Hey Now Baby. Hey now, baby. Hey now, baby, won't you talk to me?
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Lara Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news. Up on a lake. Summer's ice so dull, it's more than I can take. Won't take much, just wanna know your name. Won't need much, just wanna play a game. Hey now, sweet thing. Hey now, sweet thing, won't you sing to me? Ooh. Play the melody. Spring is like a game, hurry up and wait. Fall ain't nothing, dead leaves and rain. Don't need much, just wanna know your name. Won't take much, just wanna play a game.
Hey now, baby. Hey now, baby. Hey now, baby.